This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
August 11th is here on your calendar, so is This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian bringing you the events that have occurred throughout the annals of time on this date. And you know what, Armand? I think history basically took August 11th off for the most part.
All right. Enough preamble. Let's get to it.
I got to tell you, we're brought to you by Amazon and by Audible.com. And also, as part of the lineupmedia.fm family, check out over 40 podcasts with more to come here at lineupmedia.fm.
We need some strippers in here.
How does that have to do with history?
Well, we need a stripper show. I'd love to be
this
a
day in this day in burlesque history.
I don't care what it is. It's sex show or something.
I've told you before what to do.
Not in history. I want current sex.
Well, you're not getting any
sex immediately.
You're not getting any. And with that attitude, I think it's going to stay that way.
Yeah. No, I got a date Sunday.
But on August 11th, 1929, which was where I began today, the 500th home run is hit for the first time ever in the career of a Major League Baseball player. It comes at League Park, home of the Cleveland Indians in Cleveland, Ohio. Of course, it's not by an Indian. You know who it's by.
It's by a white man, not a red man.
Oh, calm now.
It's by an encroaching European.
It's by
a defiler of the North American continent.
Right.
Is that good enough for you?
No, but it's by Babe Ruth, of course.
The noble red man, last of the great individualists.
Made into a baseball.
Forever tainted.
Nickname.
Yeah, George Herman.
George Herman Ruth. Think about this. On August 11th, 29, he reaches the plateau of 500.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the end of 1929, he'd be standing at 516.
Okay.
All right, you ready for the top 10?
At that time?
Yes.
Just give me a couple. I guess the next, let me guess who's the next
one.
How many he's got? Let's say.
No, just the name, because it's really hard to pencil in how many they've got. This is tricky.
Right. I don't know. Frank Home Run Baker.
No, not even on the list.
Yeah, I know. He didn't. The most he ever hit were like 12 in one season.
Now, you got to go to the 1919 top 10 all time list, and I think Home Run Baker will be on it.
I don't know who'd be on there. Is Garrigan there somewhere?
Not. Yes, he is. He comes in at number 7.
Jimmy Fox.
146. Jimmy Fox, not on the list at that point.
So this is 20s. Who was hitting home runs?
Yeah, 1929.
Eddie Collins?
Nope. This is tough. I struggled with this, and I'm pretty good at baseball, and I got like two of these correct after Ruth.
Any other Yankees?
Yes, one other Yankee. Irish.
Musil?
Yep.
Bob Musil?
Yep. He is number 8 after the end of the 29 season with also 146, same as Gehrig.
Okay.
So number 2, and had he played in New York, would be regarded as the best hitter ever.
Oh, Hornsby?
Hornsby, who has 277 and would only hit two more home runs because he basically quits playing after he takes the Cubs to the 29 World Series against the A's, and then from there on out, he pretty much stays as a manager.
Okay.
Cy Williams.
Don't know him.
No clue. His playing career is over at this point. He had 251.
Okay.
That's a lot, considering that he played in the era before the live ball.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Williams.
I've heard of Ken Williams.
Now, he was a St. Louis Brown.
Yeah, Browns, yeah.
And he was a dang good player. In fact,
yeah, he was a hell of a player. He's a Triple Crown winner.
He is one of the best players of his era. No one knows his name.
He won the Triple Crown.
Because he, A, played for the Browns and then moved on to a few other teams. But the majority of his career, St. Louis Browns, which means You're thrown into the trash heap.
Means
of,
you're in Bolivia.
Of baseball history.
According to Mike Tyson.
No, exactly.
I was watching his fight with Galata, man.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
Galata just quit.
I've seen every Tyson fight.
Well, Galata just quit.
Yeah.
And they said he had a concussion or whatever. Yeah. And he hurt his back.
I've seen two Tyson fights in person. I spent 5 days in Memphis once to watch 46 seconds of action.
Yeah. I think he'd have killed Ali.
Oh, he may.
I think he's the best ever.
He may have. Ali would have had
like 21.
Ali would have had to do a lot of dancing.
Riddick Bowe's ass made him look like a fool.
Yes.
He beat the shit out of him, and Tyson just played with him.
Just,
and that was after it was the rape trial and everything.
Oh, I know. This is on the downside,
yeah,
of Mike.
He wasn't even as,
because I don't know
how Holyfield beat him.
I don't know if Mike ever got to his full potential. But I digress. Back to the baseball
home runs. Enough's enough. Let's move on.
No.
What is this?
Harry Heilman.
Okay, we know him.
164. Jim Bottomley.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Also 164. Cardinal. And the top 10 rounds out with Roger Connor. No idea.
No,
had to look this guy up.
No comprende.
138. And Chicago Cubs great Hack Wilson. Who is at 137 and counting. He will get higher than that.
Yeah.
Ruth is almost twice ahead of his next closest person.
That's why he was,
you can't put that
phenomenon.
So today, that means
2,000 home runs.
Well, it literally would mean 1,500. Literally.
All right. Well, you can't transfer.
No, you can't. You really
discuss
can't.
That. He's the best of all time, in my opinion, but. And he would have been, even not living up to his potential. He hadn't eaten all those hot dogs.
I do argue.
Drunk all that beer and banged all those chicks.
Well, yeah, but he couldn't pull muscles.
He didn't have any muscles.
There you go. If you don't have them, you can't pull them.
Yeah, but he could have ulcers.
Well, that's true. He probably did shorten his career a bit. Yeah, but.
God, probably had
but Crohn's
he had
fun.
Disease. God only knows what he had.
I mean, and again, this is in the days where the teams are stable and you're making multiple trips to a town per year. Not just like today.
You got a chicken every time.
Yeah, like today, the Dodgers may come to St. Louis once now per year. Back then, the Dodgers were coming a minimum of three times.
Well, the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, the Brooklyn. And you're traveling by train. Lord knows the hijinks you can get up to on a train.
Yeah, you eat your hat. Eat hats.
Eat the hat, just like out of the pride of it. Hey, take a good bite.
Yeah, if you're one of us, you'll take a bite.
One.
Boy, what a sap that Garrick is.
Baby, Dan is Duryea. That a dandy?
Dan Duryea and Walter Brennan.
That's how I have arguments with Jim Cromer. Who hosts?
I'll argue on his show.
Well,
let's get to work.
He does youth baseball talk and Two Birds on a Bat here at lineupmedia.fm.
Let's have elderly baseball talk. Enough youth.
Well, there is elderly baseball.
Old.
Yeah, you can play in an over 60 league. I'm sure down in Florida.
I'd rather wrestle an old timers tournament.
Oh God, that'd be disturbing.
Break my femur.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy, but I can still wrestle. Don't worry.
The Old Timers Wrestling League, brought to you by the Hip Displacement Center of Boca Raton.
Like, did you see the? Remember that movie Foxcatcher?
Yes.
When he's wrestling that old dude.
That was Carell.
Steve Carell.
Right, that's Carell.
The old guy. I don't know where they found him.
So
Mark Schultz is in his corner.
That's. I do wonder what Ruth would be able to do, because he swung at like a 42-ounce bat. Let's give him a 32-ounce bat today, like they use, especially now.
Yeah.
You know what,
a little cork in it.
You know what the
pine tar.
You know what the standard wood now is in Major League Baseball?
I don't know. It's not ash.
It's changed. The majority are now using maple.
Oh, probably because of global warming.
I don't know how you manage to work it in every time, but there it is for today. That's your one.
We're getting all kinds of hoaxes.
You're one and you're done.
Piltdown man.
All right, you're one and you're done. That's it. That's your one for today.
Atlantis.
Well, that is a myth. You know?
Yeah, that's like global warming. Mm-hmm.
No,
I said
that's
up a lot of myths. Well, I'm going to bring it up later because we're talking about religion.
Yeah.
We have a religious figure
today. Yes, we do.
All right, anyway,
now,
let's go.
In 1934, the federal prison at Alcatraz Island takes its first civilian prisoners.
Which means Alcatraz, how many times I got to tell you? It's the same as Francis Drake's boat. Pelican
Island.
Yeah.
Well, that's what. Now, how did they come up with the name Alcatraz then? Is that Spanish for pelican?
Me.
No, it's not.
That's what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Alcatraz is Spanish for pelican.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
That's what it means.
You ever been out to the Rock?
No.
Yeah, I haven't either. Is it? I'd like to know. Is it worth going out?
I don't want to go out there.
Why not?
Because nice
you think you're afraid they'd keep you.
Well, no.
How do you think you could have done?
The enforcer. Remember the enforcer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what that ended up.
How do you think you could have done?
What?
At Alcatraz. You're
I'd
a gangster.
I'd have been somebody's bitch.
Really?
Yeah.
But you could wrestle a little bit. Would that help?
It's not enough.
Oh.
Like,
You're undersized.
What the hell is that?
Would you be walking around the yard holding someone's pocket? That'd be you.
Yeah.
Well, at least you admit it, Armon.
What am I going to do?
Well, what are all of us going to do? Good grief. If you
See, from Spanish, Alcatraz, pelicans.
That's awesome.
I told you.
Pelican
which
Island.
Were once common there. There you go.
Until the prisoners ran them off?
I don't know what happened.
All right.
Don't ask me.
1942, Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah.
George Antheil. Antheil or Antheil?
I don't know. Antheil, yeah, I guess.
Well, these two.
Rick Ankiel.
Yeah, Hedy Lamarr is an actress of some note.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
She's a good actress. Beautiful lady, too.
Yeah.
They get a patent for frequency-hopping spread spectrum communication. And this is a system that later becomes the basis for modern tech such as Wi-Fi and wireless phones.
Yeah. Plus, I think is they use it in torpedoes. I mean, like gyroscopes and
stuff.
That's what it was used. Yeah. That's what the big
Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah. She's a brilliant gal.
That's
just like these actresses we have today, like Gwyneth Paltrow. And,
Gwyneth.
Really,
you want to? Yeah. Hey, you want
Ashley Judd?
You want to get me
real,
on?
Real.
You want to get me on a rant? Just
I
keep,
know that's why
keep
I brought
bringing
up
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I don't know what
name.
You got against her.
A lot.
Big socialist.
A lot.
Like
no, you just keep putting words in my mouth. See what happens there, big boy.
Yeah. Well, did you take economics in college?
Yes.
You're a
we've been over this.
And you're a socialist.
Oh, then I'm a socialist because I sat in Leroy Grossman's class.
That's right.
Who taught me all about Milton Friedman.
Keynesian.
Yeah, John Keynes' name I don't think was mentioned one time in that class.
Well, then you shouldn't get credit.
We talked about Friedman in the Chicago school. That's really what we talked about.
Then,
yes.
I don't know why you're so screwed up.
Man. I'm not. You're the one who's screwed up.
You are.
No.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you.
Okay, I am.
I'm going to hit you with this microphone.
So.
All right. We have a little race riot.
Like
Watts.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right, enough sack. Hedy. The only thing about Hedy Lamarr, remember there was a movie she made in like 1924 where she was naked, romping around.
Yes.
And her husband bought up all the copies. He didn't want anybody to see it.
Oh, why? Yeah.
Well, you didn't want anybody to see his wife.
Why? She's a great-looking lady.
In the nude.
It's art.
I've seen it. They got some stills from it. She had big nipples.
Really?
Big areola.
Do they have classification on those?
What, by circumference or volume? What?
Well, because they're, like, okay, for instance.
I like the pink ones. Well, if you ask me to classify, I don't like them too dark.
Okay, yeah, so all the African-American girls. Sorry, Armand.
I'm not attracted to African-American. That doesn't mean anything. It's just not my... You know me. I like Nordique women.
Yeah. You do like the Aryans.
That's right.
You being Armenian, of course, with that great connection.
No, Hitler said Armenians are true Aryans.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
oh, well,
that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're fine then. You're part of the fatherland. Good for you,
I'm
Armand.
Certified.
Master race Armand here.
I told you. All podiatrists are master race.
Is there any mythology, though, behind this Hedy Lamarr thing? I mean, this is really
what?
Her.
Yeah.
We can take this to the
she's
bank.
A brilliant woman.
This is not fake news or urban legend.
Brilliant. This is
actually,
you know, I know it, as unbelievable as it is now with adults that we have on the screen, there actually were some pretty bright people.
Yeah, apparently.
In movies.
And did she really scratch this out on a cocktail napkin?
I don't
sort
know
of
about that. I didn't know that.
That's amazing. All right, let's
Where'd
do
you hear that. I never heard that.
I've heard that before. That they sat down at a dinner and were discussing
Flynn
this.
Errol Flynn must have been around.
No,
they were having cocktails.
Probably not.
Wherever there's a cocktail napkin,
he probably was around.
Errol Flynn and Spencer Tracy must have been at the table.
Might have been on the other side of the room,
throwing up.
Let's do the birthdays real quick. Mike Douglas.
I remember him. Yeah.
1920. He is born on this date.
Mike Douglas.
Maybe we're going to come back to Mike Douglas, oddly
really?
Enough. Yes.
Not Michael Douglas. Mike Douglas. Had that talk show, right? That guy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's boring. I'd rather watch, what's her name? Dinah Shore. Remember her talk show?
Yeah. I remember, as a kid.
Burt Reynolds was banging her.
Okay. Now, I'm going to bring this up because I had no conception of what was going on. But I will say
nothing
this.
Nothing was going on.
When
that
she
was
would
the beauty of that
when
show.
When she would bring out Burt Reynolds... Even as a young kid, you could sense there was some type of chemistry there, and it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, until Lonnie Anderson came along.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather bang Dinah Shore than Sally Field.
Sally Field
never turned
me on. She's very cute, but she's so little.
I don't like her. She was little.
Remember her in the
You don't like her because she was in Norma Rae trying to unionize people. That's why you don't like her.
Yeah, she's a Fabian too. I don't like her politics, but
Like her looks.
Why don't you distinguish
Lonnie
between
I don't care what her politics are.
Dever told you the story he told about Lonnie on the
All right, make it quick.
Okay. So they're on the Tonight Show and Bert brings a home movie. And it's Lonnie, and they just had their kid's about a year or so old. And Bert's showing the home movie, and Lonnie's running around the backyard with the kid up on her shoulders.
Yeah.
And the kid's laughing and everything. And
I'd be laughing,
And it's
too.
A cute film. And Bert turns to John and goes, well, you know, that makes him happy. And John looks at Bert and goes, Bert, that makes us all happy.
Yeah. I'm happy. I didn't even see it. Lucky kid. It's like to be Sophia Loren's kid or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever.
Are you?
Yeah. Wow. I'd suffocate.
You talk about being born with a silver.
Yeah. A pink nipple in
your mouth. Alex Haley, the historian and author.
Now, this guy probably changed, personally, but that the Roots thing probably changed TV like Jaws changed movies.
Yes, I agree. And they were, right there in the same zone. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday,
Alex. I haven't read any of his work.
1933, Jerry Falwell.
That's what I was going to talk about. I don't have a problem with this guy.
He's a true capitalist. I'll give him that. What a great gig. Get a tax-exempt status for your business and then go on TV, sell ads, do all sorts of stuff, publish books.
I think you're implying man's a hypocrite.
No. Right, look, if you can do it.
Yeah, but what do you think about what he was preaching? I think he was sincere.
I can't speak to his sincerity.
But is there something wrong with a guy saying, hey, look, you keep doing what you're doing. Say you're homosexual. And I hate the sin, not the sinner, and that kind of thing. And you're going to go to hell, so cut it out. Okay, now you can plead ignorance on the guy, but can you damn him for not, for trying to save somebody he thinks is going to be eternal, if he really believes this? I can't damn the guy for trying to save somebody from what he perceives to be eternal damnation.
Well, I don't damn anybody.
Why damn you?
Well.
I took a stupid economics class at St. Louis U.
You got to. It's a prereq.
Damn you to hell. What was that from? Remember War and Peace?
Damn you.
Henry Fonda. He goes, damn you, Napoleon.
Napoleon.
Damn you to hell. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, look, I think.
I don't condemn.
Elrond,
he was friends with, what's his name?
With who?
Flint, after he sued him.
Oh, yeah, after he sued him.
They
run a similar business.
Well, yeah, but they couldn't stand each other more or less, morally, but they were friends, which, problem. That's the problem I think we have today.
Just don't quit judging people.
Yeah, but if you have to, if you're trying to save them, you have to judge them, right?
Well.
That's what I'm saying. He's trying to save you. Now, I don't agree with it, but.
But, okay, now I'm going to make the counter argument. The counter argument is he's not trying to save you. He's trying to get into your wall.
Well, there you go. Okay, now you're calling him a hypocrite then.
Well, no,
that's what I'm asking you.
Those who believe he's unsincere would call him a hypocrite.
Insincere.
Right. Would call him a hypocrite.
Yeah, but now if a Muslim came up to me and said, look, you better accept Allah or you're going to go to hell forever. I could say, look, I choose not to believe it, but I appreciate you're trying to save my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he's going to come and hack my head off.
That's a problem.
Because I'm an infidel.
That's a problem.
Infidel. Right. We got a problem with that.
We've got a huge problem.
I don't have a problem with Jerry Falwell saying to you, look, I understand you're homosexual or whatever. He's against everybody, but I'm just bringing that up because that was a big thing. That was his real bete noire.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just telling you, it's not that I can't stand the homosexuality. It's a sin. And the Bible says shouldn't a man lie with another man,
right,
etc.
Right, sure,
you're going to go to hell. Please don't do it.
You know the Bible.
I'm trying to save
the
your
Bible
soul.
Hardly mentions homosexuality.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying. But if the guy is sincere in his beliefs.
You know my theory about these guys? All these guys who get all so worked up about homosexuality?
I'm asking you in particular Jerry Falwell.
Well, he's one of them.
Okay.
I think sadly that they suffered some form of molestation as a child. I do. I do. I think
that's your psychiatric opinion,
yes,
huh?
Yes. I think they suffered, and I really...
I think it's part of their upbringing, but I don't think it's necessarily molestation.
Well, it could be, or it could just be part of a real diehard
My grandmother
upbringing.
Was a very religious woman.
Yes.
And she really put into my... I mean, she put the fear of God into me.
Okay.
Believe me, when I was a kid...
Yes.
Yeah, I was afraid of anything more than hell. It was hell.
And you were probably a decently behaved child?
No, I was a rat.
Oh, okay.
But... Well.
Were you a decently behaved child around her?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then she accomplished her mission.
Because
that's what she wanted.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, maybe that's what she wanted.
Maybe she was a religious woman that thought I was going to go to hell if I didn't mend my ways. Well, that's what I'm saying. That, you know, you can claim
my concept of Christianity must be so different than everybody else's.
It sure is. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It begars my imagination what some of these people are thinking.
That's my premise, though. I'm just saying, if a guy truly believes that he's doing God's work, you think he's just going out for money. Okay, that's your opinion. But I'm just saying there are Christians out there that think that they're going to save you.
Oh, they do.
Okay.
They do.
Okay, and that's their mission.
And I
can't condemn them for that.
No, and I don't.
Okay, well, that's all I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, there you go.
But if you are
now, L. Ron Hubbard, he knew. He's not trying to save anybody. He's trying to make money. Yeah. He said it.
He said, oh, you can be tax-free doing this? Here we go.
Right, and I respect that too.
Well, that's a great
play. At least the guy's not deluded.
No, he's not a hypocrite.
Only his followers are deluded.
Oof.
Yeah, now we're dead. Now we got the Muslims and the Scientologists.
Everyone will hate us by the time we're done with
this. That'd be a great script.
Why don't you say something?
Wouldn't that be a great script? The Civil War between the Muslims and the Scientologists, starring
Tom Cruise,
John Travolta.
Tom Cruise and John Travolta.
And who's going to be on the other side? Who's going
to I don't know.
Who's going to be the Muslim?
I need a great Muslim actor.
I don't know. I don't know any Muslim actors.
That lady,
Omar Sharif.
I don't know if she's Muslim though. She appeared in Curb Your Enthusiasm. She's the Palestinian chicken.
We'll find somebody.
God, she was good. She's been on Ocho Man's Armenia Proud show. She's a beautiful woman too. Oh my God, she's stunningly beautiful.
Not my type.
Not your type.
She's not Norwegian.
Jesus.
All right,
you're sick. 1950, Steve Wozniak. Happy birthday, Steve.
I was reading about
that. What a charmed life this guy.
Is it true? He's the guy that invented the computer, and then Steve Jobs invented the case. Did you see that? Is that true?
There's more than an element.
Well, I should be so lucky.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. He's.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah. I got a nice handle for that carrying case. Mm-hmm. Give me one-third of Apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
How about this? 1953, Hulk Hogan.
Terry Bollea.
Happy birthday,
this guy
Hulkster.
Doesn't strike me as a real bright guy.
No, if you haven't heard what's happened to him recently, where he got filmed.
Yeah, that Gawker, whatever the hell his name is. Yeah. I wrote it down.
Well, it's Bubba the Love Sponge from Tampa. Yeah.
Right. He slept with his wife.
With his wife while Bubba filmed.
Right.
Not bright. Although, I do love him as Thunderlips.
Oh, yeah. Well, that
in Rocky
him. Yeah, no,
Rocky
I never
3.
Heard him before
Oh,
that.
What a turn that was. Oh, Thunderlips. Fly me ball.
I like those two chicks with him.
Oh yeah, they were those.
But anyway, he sued somebody for malpractice.
Yeah,
yeah. Somebody did because he had a lot of back problems and apparently
I can imagine
several surgeries on him.
Yeah,
and they didn't work too well. But I don't know. That's not malpractice in my book. That's a bad result. So eventually, went on to a fusion.
If a doctor does the procedure and does it to the letter of the protocol, or
no, it's just up to standard of care. That's
up to the standard of care, and it doesn't take
right. Well, that's what it is. So I don't know. I don't know the details.
Malpractice is oops, I operated on the wrong cervical vertebrae.
Right.
That's malpractice.
Well, yeah, malpractice is.
Right?
Yeah, I operated on your wife.
Well,
I knew one of you in the waiting room was going to get it. But and he also sued Belzer, Richard Belzer. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do now.
Now, here's the thing. Let me give you a little hint about.
Why would you sue Richard Belzer?
Well, because, no, Belzer sued him.
Oh, good.
That's
okay.
How. Because
okay.
He put a sleeper hold on him.
Yes.
And apparently Belzer, I didn't see it, but it was on a radio or TV or whatever. The guy kept saying, I want you to put a sleeper on me or show me or whatever. Now, anybody that's had any training at this, okay, if I'm going to put a sleeper on you to show you how it goes, here's what you do. You tell the guy to hold his hand out like this, okay? Mm-hmm. As soon as his hand goes like that, that's it. He's going out.
Yeah.
And you let go of him. So apparently Hulk put him out.
Yeah.
And he landed on his head and broke his head open.
Oh,
busted his head.
God.
So that's
this
not
like
the
on,
way you put
it. Is this on Letterman or something?
Is there
a video
show
of this?
I don't know.
I got to see this.
You know, that's a little tip for you on how you put a chokehold on somebody.
All right. Final.
It's actually a strangle.
Strangle.
You do know the difference.
Yeah.
We've talked about this.
Chokehold, you're cutting off the airwave.
Right. Strangle.
Strangle, you're cutting off circulation.
Right.
So which means
strangle or sleeper.
Which
hold.
Means that is it the carotid artery?
Yeah, the carotid artery.
You have pinched the or collapsed, smushed. The carotid artery.
You've occluded them,
and there is no blood flow heading to the brain,
and you go out.
Yeah,
but it can be dangerous.
Right.
You know.
Now, final birthday for me, 1965. Viola Davis, actress. She's not young. She's over 50.
Know. Who is she?
She was in The Help, and she's been in a couple other movies. She was just in Fences with Denzel Washington.
I assume she's black then, because that's.
Yeah, she's a great actress, though. She's really hitting stride.
Was she in that Numbers thing? Hidden Numbers? No, that wasn't her, was it?
No, that was the other lady from The Help. Okay. Oh, now I'm drawing a blank on her name. The one who made the shit pie. You ever seen The Help?
No.
You haven't seen the? Oh, my Lord.
No, I'm a racist, remember?
No, you're not.
I watched Hidden Numbers.
Yeah, Hidden Figures.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, but I knew what you were talking about.
Whatever.
Yeah, they did the mathematical work for NASA.
I like the two, but the one I like the gal that worked in the computer room.
Yes,
and I like the gal that actually did the. But the other one was getting her engineering degree. I don't know why they threw her in there.
It was a subplot that may not have been necessary.
That's what we call a B story.
Right, the B story wasn't really grabbing my attention.
Right.
All right, back to – I only have three more.
They had a beautiful – I'll tell you why. She had to have a good-looking one.
She was very
pretty.
The other
two weren't that great.
She was very pretty. Yes,
right,
she was.
There you go.
1965, the race riots in Watts, L.A. begin.
A little ugly.
You ever been to Watts?
Yeah,
I've never been to Watts.
Seen the Watts Towers and all that? Yeah. My buddy's office is in Hawthorne, so I used to drive.
Where's Hawthorne at?
Not far from Watts, by the airport. Inglewood, that area.
Oh, okay. I got a general idea.
That's where Fred Sanford lives.
Yeah. No, he lived in Watts. Yeah, that's true. Had relatives in St. Louis,
Central Avenue.
Central Avenue.
Well, yeah, he was lived on Enright in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 1972, the last ground combat troops of the United States.
Yeah, our ground combat troops.
Leave South Vietnam.
Yeah. Yep, that was the end of the election for McGovern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor George.
That did it in. Well, I don't think George went much of a chance anyway, but
he got his butt kicked.
How many electoral votes do you think he was carrying on August 11th? 3 or 0?
I don't know how many he actually won. Let's see. Did he win one state? I thought it was one. Massachusetts I think he won two. Didn't he win Massachusetts and D.C., technically a state? Cuz I think he won more than Mondale did.
I think you're right, because Mondale won 3.
Well, no, he got Minnesota, didn't he?
Well, he got his home state.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. One of them didn't. Maybe he got Massachusetts and D.C.
Okay, here's the electoral vote for 72. Nixon, 520.
Yeah.
McGovern, 17.
Right.
So McGovern got Massachusetts and D.C. Wow, you got a good memory. That's fantastic. Just for fun.
That was like before that. It was Alf Landon, remember? Because there used to be the old saying, as Maine goes, so goes the nation. Well, when Landon won, it went, as Maine goes, so goes Vermont. Because those were the only two states he won. 1936 election against Roosevelt. My favorite president.
Let's look up the other one here.
Mondale, I think, just won Minnesota, right? Barely.
Yeah. See, I hate how they...
Well, just put election of 1984.
The internet pisses me off so bad.
You'll get it.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Okay.
Yeah, forget it. I'm not even trying. Right. You're going to make me work for it that hard. I'm not even trying. But I want to say he just got Minnesota.
I'm pretty sure.
Because I remember people saying.
Just barely, too.
He beat me by so many electoral votes, and I didn't even run.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of people. Right. I think I did pretty good.
We were all tied for third, Armand.
Yeah, right.
Anybody that
was a citizen. He won Minnesota. That's it.
Okay. Then.
Not by much.
Oh, really? He barely carried Minnesota?
I'm wondering how much he won Minnesota by. It was close. Real close.
16 years after Hubert Humphrey, and Minnesota's already turned.
Yeah. Proudest punch. Let's see. What the hell?
Well.
Yeah, that was his home state.
Let's hear from the guy who did win the 1984 election on this date, August 11th. Old Dutch, well, he's warming up, sort of getting the pipes loose for a radio address.
He won by 4,000, not even, like 3,700 votes.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that was close.
Wow.
3,700.
You know, out of mercy, they probably said, let's not have a recount just in case turns against him.
Now Nixon would have had a recount.
Sure he would. I want them all.
I think Trump would have to.
Oh, sure. I want a clean sweep.
Trump's a Roman, man. He's got to win them all.
It's never good.
I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, you do.
I really don't.
It's never good enough.
Hey, listen, I know Dan Gable said, score, and score some more.
No, I know.
Like if you, I've seen guy matches where his guy's up like by 8-9 points.
I know.
He'll walk off the mat and Gable will get in his face, man.
Absolutely.
You were dogging it.
Now let's get back to Dutch.
I like that attitude.
This is one of my favorite moments in Reagan history.
All right.
Now he caught shit for this, folks.
I know.
All right. But on August 11th,
even back then,
1984,
no sense of humor.
And you know, again, National Weekly Radio Address. They still do those. I don't know if
they do. Yeah, Saturday, yeah, the radio address.
It's a Saturday address, and everybody's in the room. And
I don't know why.
You got to check out the mics, right? You got to test the levels, Armand, is what I'm saying, which we try to get you to do, and you refuse to do every day. But here's how Reagan warmed up that day.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Okay, that's funny.
It's hilarious.
All right, so what's your problem?
It's not. I don't have a problem. Everyone else did.
It's not like he grabbed somebody's pussy.
I don't know if Dutch was capable of...
Hey, Dutch got laid. Don't worry.
But do you remember the hullabaloo?
He was
I was in junior high. I remember
the
hullabaloo.
He was the Errol Flynn of B-movies.
Yeah, probably.
That's what he called himself.
The Errol Flynn. Well, it's something.
He actually made a couple movies. He made Desperate Journey with Errol Flynn.
But, man, I mean, come on. That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the Russians at some level had to think that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to be on the red phone going, hey, we know you were joking, but we're going to release a statement saying we're offended, but don't worry about it. We really know you were joking.
Well, it depends on who was alive.
Was it Brezhnev? No,
Andropov, I think it might have been. Chernenko. Man, those guys,
as humorless
they dropped like flies.
As humorless as Brezhnev probably was, that Andropov and then that Chernenko,
yeah.
Whew, they looked even...
Yeah.
They look like they'd never heard a joke that was any good.
Well, that's like the classic commie.
I mean, they were right out of central casting.
Yeah, remember that guy that used to play General Gogol? He was in several James Bond movies in the 80s.
Yeah,
remember him?
Yeah.
He was a great, I guess he was a KGB guy.
What the hell? Because he had a little birthmark on his...
Yeah, he has like a mole.
He had a mole.
Yeah,
yes.
General Gogol. He was in Octopussy. I know that.
Yes.
That was the one he was in. I think, but he wasn't the one in several of them because there was the other guy who was not a bad guy. He was not he was one of the good commies. The guy that, you know, they called him in the middle of the night. How can I sleep? You know, I'm so worried about the nuclear war. He's got some hot blonde in bed with him.
So General Gogol is played by Walter Gotell.
How do you spell it?
Gotell.
Okay.
And he is. He's perfectly cast.
I think that guy died not too long ago.
Let's see here. Walter, how you doing, Walter? Yeah, not too long ago, 1997.
Yeah, see?
So
25 years ago.
Yeah, not too long ago. 25 years. Quarter of a century.
Maybe I'm thinking of the other guy that played
Well, there was a younger guy, like in A View to a Kill, who...
A commie?
Yeah, they used him in a bunch of things. Yeah,
because there was that guy that played the general or whatever.
Yeah,
he was always
a general.
Yeah,
type of guy.
Well, he was in several of them.
Yeah, yeah, he was like central casting.
Yeah, but he was a good guy. He was one of the
He was one of the good comics.
Yeah, detente, you know, that kind of thing. He was also in, I think, the one with the that little the thing in the boat there and then the ship that sank. That was the one with the one in Greece. Remember that one?
Boy, oh boy, you got me here, because I was just going to say the ship that
the one
sank.
With the legs? Remember, he's pointing the gun that has those beautiful legs?
Oh, yeah.
Man, what the hell was that?
You Only Live Twice?
No, that was his first one. This is, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
Who died today, August 11th? Got some interesting ones.
For Your Eyes Only?
That could be it.
For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah. For Your Eyes Only. They had that Lotus that went underwater, too. That was a good bit.
No, that was Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh, that's Spy Who Loved Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good bit, though.
Yeah, the Lotus.
The Lotus Esprit that goes underwater.
Yeah.
August 11th, who passes away? Now, here's an interesting one. This is just for you, Armand.
Yeah.
Right up top, 1596, an 11-year-old child passes away by the name of Hamnet.
I don't think he was 11. I think he was 10.
10? Yeah. Hamnet Shakespeare, son of William Shakespeare and Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, the interesting, what a lot of these people think is when he stopped writing comedies, more or less, and started writing
the tragedies.
It took this pretty hard.
Now, notice the name, of course, Hamnet.
Yeah.
Hamnet was a fraternal twin, his sister, Judith.
Right, and I think he had one more, Susanna, I think, was the other kid.
But also, his name may not have been Hamnet, because there's a record out there that it's spelled H-A-M-N-L-E-T-T,
right.
Thus being the basis for Hamlet, just being the basis for the father-son story in Hamlet. Take it from there. I think you know where this is going. But yeah, dies 1596 on August 11th. And then you get the, yeah, you get the big epic tragedy era of Shakespeare coming in.
Well, that's...
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Made him a little gloomy.
1990.
That's why there are no direct descendants of Shakespeare still alive.
None? No. Wow. Okay.
I don't think. Like George Washington, I don't think.
Yeah, no, he's zero. It's funny how that goes. Either you're like...
Well, they both married older women.
Right. Either it's zero or you're like Jefferson and it's so many you can't even count them.
All right. Knock it off.
What? I'm just saying.
Through slaves, of course.
The servants in his house at Monticello...
Yeah.
The guest would ask, why do you have white servants? Because they were so fair-skinned.
Okay. Well,
they were his kids.
Well, he liked Nordique women, too.
He and Sally Hemings.
There are no direct descendants of William Shakespeare.
That's amazing.
His wife, Anna, had three kids. Susanna, I just told you that. Yep. And twins, Judith and Hamnet.
Hamnet. All right.
He was 11.
He was 11. Yeah. 1919, Andrew Carnegie. The great businessman, philanthropist.
Yeah, go to Pittsburgh. Everything out there is named after him.
Absolutely. If you've never watched the History Channel's The Men Who Built America, it is fascinating because, especially with Carnegie.
I guess he had something to do with Andrew Mellon, too. Carnegie Mellon Institute.
Of course. And also because of the Eads Bridge located crossing the Mississippi River from
The steel?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 1937, Edith Wharton, the American novelist, passes away.
First woman to win the Pulitzer, I believe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Was it for Ethan Frome or for...
Nah, I think it was Mirth, whatever it is.
The House of
House
Mirth.
House of Mirth.
I did read Ethan Frome in high school, and I did read The Age of Innocence.
Ethan Frome.
Yeah. Is that... They're sledding.
That's... Somebody got killed, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah,
right,
the sled.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Scorsese did a Wharton book up into a period drama piece.
I watched that the other day.
It's a hard watch. Even though it's got Daniel Day-Lewis, it's a hard watch. Yeah, it's kind of a misfire by Scorsese.
I'd rather watch, I don't know, I'd rather watch any of that. What's that? The Last Temptation of Christ? Boy, that was a tough one.
That's a tough watch, too. 1956, Jackson Pollock passes away.
Oh, boy.
You don't like Pollock?
God, calling this guy an artist, it's like calling me a ballerina. Okay, that's art.
Let me see you hit position one.
I could do that.
How about position two?
I don't know, two. I think I got four, five. No, five. Four is this. I know the four position, five position.
Can you do a pas de...
I can do a...
Is a pas...
Arabesque.
A pas de deux? A pas...
Pas de deux.
Pas de deux.
That's a dance of two. Because that's a dance of two. That's what that means.
Did you ever read Woody Allen's A Guide to Some of the Lesser Ballets?
Oh, well, I think that was in one of his...
That's in,
Without Feathers.
Right, right. 1984, Alfred A. Knopf Sr. Do you say Knopf or Knopf?
I don't know.
Well, great publishing house that still... when I'm shopping for a book, I will be a little biased if I see Little Brown or Knopf as the publisher.
How about Hogarth Press?
No.
That was Virginia Woolf.
That was Virginia Woolf. No. No, I'll not pick up. Yeah. I do have favorite publishers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And in 1994, this
poor... I like this guy. I like this actor.
This gentleman passed away. I'm going to play a little snippet of this gentleman.
I object to this.
Why do you object?
Because the guy has such great parts.
Well, then we'll play one of your favorites, but here's one of mine.
Governor Tuck, I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Charming.
Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life.
I'm surprised you had the courage to take the responsibility yourself.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. No star system will dare oppose the Emperor now.
The more you tighten your grip, Tark, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Not after we demonstrate the power of this station. In a way, you have determined the choice of the planet that will be destroyed first.
Who's doing all that heavy breathing in the back?
That's Vader!
No shit.
Come on, I'm just making sure you know.
That was a joke, son.
Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No! Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't possibly...
You will prefer another target, a military target, then name the system.
Oh, you've kicked out the best part.
What? What's the best part?
Well, she tells him, he goes, proceed. You may proceed. I grow tired of asking. You're far too trusting.
So it'll be the last time. Where is the rebel base?
Dantooine.
Dantooine.
I don't know why you don't like these.
It's...
They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trusting.
There. That's the best line.
Cushing is
that's
just...
Not his, he's not a villain. He's a good... He's Dr. Van Helsing, man.
He nails it. Okay, now which one do you want it? Because Cushing is...
I don't know. I'm not a, well, it's not his dialogue. It's his...
Delivery.
Well... Get a chump at Oxford. He was with, he didn't have any lines. He was just, that was
come
one
on, give
the,
me something. If you want something other
know.
Than Star Wars,
I
give it to
know.
Me, big guy.
Whatever. Frankenstein must be destroyed.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. He was a great Dr. Frankenstein. He was a great Dr. Van Helsing. That's all I got to say. I don't have to have, it doesn't have to be illustrated.
Oh,
some arbitrary
oh,
piece
but
of
it
dialogue.
Does. Oh, but it does. Well, this is a British film.
That's good, yeah.
This is a classic British film. A bunch of guys walking through doors.
All right, great.
Good grief.
Take my word for it.
I will.
Get some of the old Hammer films.
Well, anyway, Cushing, gone. 1994. The CGI Cushing,
yes,
though. What
returns.
Do you think about that, man?
I don't know.
I really did not realize it was CGI when I was watching the film. I thought it was old material.
Yeah,
that they adjust.
That's a bad precedent.
I still contend, Armand, that what's coming.
Yeah, I know. I don't
is
think I want to see it.
That John Wayne, Humphrey Bogart will be on the screens again, and not only that,
I should be writing their dialogue.
Not only that, Armand, but on a
Edward
DVD
G. Robinson
selection
comes back, and James Cagney.
Here's what something because this is what a guy like George Lucas would do. He would go back, take Raiders of the Lost Ark. And have the cast be all CGI, and you could pick if you wanted Indy to be Errol Flynn or Humphrey Bogart.
You know, I don't know about that.
I'm afraid that's what's coming.
Listen, if we get to that point, by that point you're going to be able to have sex with these virtual reality. Nobody's going to be watching movies.
You already can, Armand.
Well, yeah, but they're going to be so good that nobody's going to go to any movies. They can't be that good now. So forget it. Because you're going to be sleeping. I can sleep with Pamela Anderson, and I'm not going to watch Errol.
You'll never leave the house.
Right. I'm not going to watch Errol Flynn in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
2003, Herb Brooks passed away.
Just put an IV and put a pick line in me and feed me. Because I don't want to come out of it.
Herb Brooks passed away. Coach,
oh, yeah.
Miracle on
right,
Ice.
Right. Yep.
Portrayed in the movie Miracle so well by Goldie Hawn's husband.
Oh, yeah, Kurt Russell.
He did a good job, man. He really did. I loved Kurt Russell. I thought was really good. 2006, passing away on the day he was born.
Oh,
Mike Douglas.
Yeah, that did look familiar.
Yeah. How about that?
Hope it wasn't the
What are the odds that you die on the day? What are the odds, Armand, that you die on the day you were born?
364-1.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
365-1.
2009, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, the founder of the Special Olympics, passes away. Those Kennedy women, they live a long time, boy.
Now, do you know the bet, though? You want to win you want a good bar bet?
Yeah, the one you had earlier was sensational, so I want to hear another one.
Well, yeah. Say you're in a room.
Yes, I'm in a room.
There's 30 people with you in a bar, right?
There's 30 people with me in a bar.
What do you think the odds are that two of those people have the same birthday? Would you, if I bet you $10 that neither of those two had the same birthday, would you take that bet?
With 30 people?
30 people.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the math here. No. I wouldn't take the bet.
What do you think the odds are?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to calculate.
Probably
that.
Like 90% that two have the same. If
it's more, that high?
If it's more it's than like high. 23 people in a room, the odds are that they're going to have the same. Two people are going to have the
same birthday.
Because people are always saying it's a 365-1, but that's me and you having the same birthday.
Right.
When you take all that out.
No, we start reducing
so
it by half
it's a
each time.
Bit, I think even at 23, it's a little bit more. It's like 52%. But at 30... It's way
is
up
that
there.
A Poisson distribution?
So Poisson.
Poisson distribution.
No, Poisson distribution is, you know, you're kicked by a horse.
Oh, that's right.
It's the odds of an event that the odds are way against it, but it will happen.
Mm-hmm. No, it will. Yeah,
yeah. So, he got that from the French army.
So the breaking point is 23.
I think 23.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So 30 people.
So take that. Yeah, I mean, you can probably get somebody give you 5-1 on 23 people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you'd be in good shape. That's a good bet.
I think it's the birth. Is it the birth? I don't know. It's called a paradox. It's not a paradox, but.
And in 2014, on this date, Robin Williams passes away.
Well, he was, poor guy was messed up. Man.
Do you have a favorite Robin Williams?
Yeah, I liked him in Good Will Hunting.
Which one?
Good Will Hunting.
I know that. Which one?
The movie he was in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, here it is. 23. If you survey a random group of just 23 people, there's actually about a 50-50% chance. That goes way up there the more you go, you know. If you get to 30. Let's see here.
But you think was these, you know, she used to fart in the sleep.
I think he's making all that up. I think that was ad-libbed.
That with you. One night it was so loud it woke the dog up. She woke up and got like, oh, is that you? See, I didn't have the heart to tell her. Oh, God. She woke herself up, yes.
How about seize the day?
Oh, Christ.
That's so good. And you know what? It looks so natural.
Well, that's because he was making, yeah. I don't know what I'm saying, he was ad-libbing all that, supposedly.
Yeah. Here we go, Armin. We'll end the show with this.
Mr. Pith. It's a rather unfortunate name.
Mr. what?
Pith.
Where are you?
Oh.
Mr.
Pitts.
Pitts. Pitts. 542. Read the first stanza of the poem you find there.
Did the virgins to make much of time?
Yes. The one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be
a-dying. Yep. Is that Herrick?
I think so.
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's seize the day.
Very good. Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No. Ding! Thanks for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads.
You got that right.
Just believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here. Peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them.
Do you have a poetry teacher like
not
this?
That different from you, are they?
I never took poetry.
You never did?
Who takes poetry?
I never did either.
Well, I mean, yeah, we had literature.
Just
and
like you.
I like Robert Browning anyway.
Just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things.
Where does that come from?
The world is their oyster?
The world is mine oyster. With sword I shall open.
No, I don't know.
Henry the VI.
One iota of what they were capable.
Part one.
These boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. You hear it?
Is there any end of this scene? Sorry, I picked it.
No, I'm just playing the whole movie for
you. Yeah, let's just listen. Hold on. Get a silent movie you can play for us?
Hold on.
Everybody wants to hear that.
Carpe.
What the hell's he saying?
Carpe diem.
Oh. All right. It's kind of, you know, at the time it was fresh, but now it's so trite.
It's been made.
It's only Latin anybody knows. Okay, it was a reasonably good movie. Like I said, I like him better when he's serious. I was watching him the other night. He was doing some kind of comedy thing. I didn't laugh once.
These, I thought it was a very appropriate clip you picked there on the day that Robin Williams passed away.
He won the Academy Award for that
3 years ago, and he gives the Carpe Diem speech, and he's talking about the boys
who are
now worm food and to seize the day. And my God, that dude did seize the day. God, did he make me laugh?
Yeah, but he was really messed up, I know.
It's often the funniest ones who are hurting the most inside.
Pagliacci.
There you have it. All right.
Laugh, clown, laugh.
Laugh, yeah. Laugh, clown, laugh. That'll do it. August 11th is in the books. Thanks to everyone for tuning in these past month and a half. We continue to grow our audience. We are so appreciative. Armand, I saw one gentleman on one of our other shows, Surreal Talk, one of their fans, just posted on Facebook saying, I could listen to Armand talk about history forever.
I hope it was a chick.
No, sorry, it wasn't. Oh, I think his name was TJ. But
well, thanks, TJ.
Yeah, but and he's right.
Got a sister.
And Armand makes the
I'd
show.
I'd be glad
go.
To make a house call.
I just set him up and let him let him regale us with his pearls of...
Yes.
Pearls.
Omniscience.
So, on behalf of Armand and my crew, Andrew Allen, Brian Kroc, producer, show writer, Corey Smith, don't forget, subscribe at lineupmedia.fm or at thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, and you can sign up through iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. We will be back with you on August 14th, so until then, enjoy it, and don't forget, when that date rolls around, we, of course, are going to be right here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.